Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. So a few years ago, I was asked to MC the priest convocation, and this is one of those jobs that no one ever volunteers for. It's always one of those things that they have to kind of appoint someone, and usually they have to ask about five people before they finally find someone who says, "It's okay, I'll do it." But anyway, that was what happened that year. I just kind of finally just said, "Okay, fine, I'll do it." And part of the role is that the priests who have their 25th and 50th anniversaries, that they wanted to do a little something special for them at the convocation. So I had an idea that I was going to call all these different priests, and I interviewed them so that I could get some answers to things such as, well, why did you originally want to become a priest, and what were some high points and low points? And anyway, I called and talked to a few of them, but one of them was really kind of hard to reach. But I said, that's it, I'm not giving up, I'm going to hunt him down, and I'm going to get an answer. So anyway, I finally found him, and his name's Father John Betts. And anyway, I knew him actually because he was in Albany when I was in Corvallis. So when I finally got him, I said, John, I just kind of want to know, why did you want to become a priest? And he didn't even take time to think about it. He said, well, when I was a kid, Jesus was my hero. And I thought, I just want to do what he did. Anyway, I don't remember what all the other priests said in the interviews to them, but I remember John's answer because I thought it was so good. The idea here is that to do what he did, you know, that's kind of the call of all the Christians. I mean, that ultimately it's that we could be like Jesus, you know, imitate him, and that he would be our hero in a sense, that we would say, yes, I want to be just like him. And we do have a bit of a description of that in the scripture in how Jesus came to us. Because there was never anyone on earth who was more valuable, who was more powerful, who was more divine, because Jesus was the Son of God. Yet he came and he dwelt among us in humility. He came in obscurity and he was raised in a family in poverty. More than likely, nobody really knew who he was until he started his ministry and started to reveal who he was. But it was in his divine plan to come to us in humility and in poverty. In addition to that, Jesus didn't come to be served, but came to serve and give his life as a ransom for the many, as we've all heard several times. But that's true. Here he is, the Son of God. And instead of saying, I am the great king and you all need to come to me, and instead it was the opposite. He gave himself over entirely, even to his own death, for the sake of our salvation. And that really is good news, you know, that our God, who is greater than we could ever imagine and infinitely powerful and majestic, that he humbled himself and came to us in humility and poverty and gave himself completely to his own death for the sake of our salvation. Well, St. Paul wrote about this, actually, and he wrote about it in Philippians. So I'm going to read Paul's description, because he not only describes who Jesus is and what he did, but he said that we should be like him. So here's what Paul says, Philippians chapter 2. So have among yourselves the same mindset that is found in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and coming in human likeness and appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, in today's gospel, we have a bit of a contrast. And the contrast we have are the scribes and the Pharisees. And he mentions the scribes particularly, but the idea here is that the scribes had an important position. They had a particular job that they were supposed to fulfill, and that was to help others to know God and to help them to follow God. And instead of doing that, they were actually focusing on themselves. And so it was all about how they were able to bathed themselves in the riches of the day, and how they were supposed to be the people of importance, and they got special privileges to be greeted in the marketplaces in a particular way and get the seats of honor in the synagogues. And you can see that instead of them pointing to God, they were actually pointing themselves back. They were pointing back to themselves. And it was a bit of a selfish ministry that they had going on there. And so for this, Jesus is rightfully pretty harsh to them. But then we have a contrast to that, because we have this widow. And a widow in Jesus' time had no opportunity for making a livelihood. And so the little that she had to depend on her family members. And if her family members were not able to sustain her and support her, then she would be destitute. Yet she drops two small coins in the treasury, and she probably does it probably hoping not to be seen, because they're two small coins. As she does that, she's noticed by Jesus, because here this widow gives her whole livelihood. And the idea here is that she comes in obscurity, and she gives her entire self. And she's not so worried about her future, because she knows that one way or another, her God, who she loves, will take care of her. Anyway, so we see a contrast between those who would use the gospel for selfish gain and those who would use it to project and point people to the reality of God himself, who comes in poverty and humility and gives everything of himself. You know, so we see this contrast. Well, the teaching lesson for us, first of all, I think it does start in the church, that we do need to have a proper balance when it comes to the things of the church. In Shepherd of the Valley in Southern Oregon, we had this fruit stand, and you could only fit about a couple hundred people in it. And what was interesting about it was that it was almost as if everything was built as cheaply as possible. So just to give you an example of that, we had a holy water font, and the holy water font was a big coffee can that was spray painted. They stuck a spigot in it, and then the little holder, if you have any drips left over, was made from a spray painted a hairspray can top. And so it's like, okay, could have you made this any more Mickey Mouse than it is, you know? But everything was like that in that church. You know, none of the windows were all different sizes. The wood didn't match, and we used it. We used it because it's what we had. And it was only later than we came to the point where we needed to build a new church. And so we built a bigger church, and we decided that we wanted something that was elegant and beautiful and glorified God, but was not so over the top that it was going to be something that would be pretentious. So anyway, it was kind of like this balance that we were trying to have. So on one hand, you can have the church that looks at, well, let's just be as cheap as we can and use nothing but spray-painted coffee cans, you know. And on the other hand, I actually was at a church where they had a monstrance, which was $80,000. You know, it's like, well, okay, well, that seems a little extravagant to me. You know, so a lot of things in the life of spirituality is finding that proper balance. And the balance would be giving God what is rightfully his, giving him glory, you know, not being cheap about it, but not being so extravagant that it takes away from what should go also to God's people. You know, and this is kind of that balance that we're supposed to have. Really, it's projected in Jesus' law of love, you know, that he says that we need to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, and to have that right balance when it comes to it. And sure, in the past, because we are human, that we have made mistakes in that balance. But nevertheless, I think when we look at the most beautiful structures that we have on the planet, you know, that sometimes those cathedrals really do speak something about the devotion of the people that built them. And in our modern day, maybe the big casinos in the sporting rinks kind of talk about the people that support it. You know, that like, where are priorities in these things? It's possible for us to have a right balance in these sort of things. Now, in addition to that, there was also this time that I was in, we had a debt that we were trying to pay off, and at the point of this, there was one of the parishioners who said, Father, I've got an idea how we can pay off the debt. You know, I was going to go on a trip, but I'm not going to go on the trip, so I'm just going to give you all this money that I have. And I know that she's a single widow, and she doesn't have much of a livelihood either. And so I'm like, Marie, I've read that gospel passage where the scribes are being judged harshly because of the way they treated the widows. And it's like, I don't want to be there at the pearly gates and have this come up. So I'm not taking your money. You could just keep it for now, and we'll see what happens. You know, and she was kind of mad at me at the time. But after a few years, she said, well, Father, I was kind of mad at you at the time, but I'm kind of glad that it kind of went the way that it did, because I had some medical bills that I needed to pay off, and, you know, very soon after that. So anyway, I think, again, we're looking at balance, and this is what the spiritual life is about. It's like having the proper balance where we're able to say that, yes, Lord, we want to give you the best. We want to make sure that we're glorifying you, and we want to do what we can to not be cheap when it comes to you, and then be extravagant when it comes to other things that are less important. But at the same time, we also want to take care of the people who are your people. And so this is what Jesus is talking about when he's contrasting the scribes and the Pharisees at this point with the widow. Now, when we think about our own lives, maybe this is something that we can consider, that when we see the example of the scribes, where they were pointing at themselves, well, part of our baptismal call is that we also are called to make sure that we are pointing to our God, and that the people that we know, we're helping them to be able to know who God truly is, and also to help them on their way to be able to follow him. And so that might be something we can think about in this week. And then the other part, we can also think about this widow and the way that she acted in humility, ultimately glorifying God in the process. And we also can imitate her dependence on God, knowing that one way or another, he'll take care of us, and we can have confidence in that. So again, I'm going to finish by reading that passage from the Philippians, letter to the Philippians from St. Paul. And just kind of think how this describes Jesus and what it calls us to. Have among yourselves the same mindset that is found in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and coming in human likeness and appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.